Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Ashab al-Kahf, the youth of the cave, when Allah says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى. It is we who relate upon you their story in truth. Indeed, they were youth who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance. Just in this ayah, we're understanding a few points that are very important. Number one, Allah says, نحن نقص عليك. It is we indeed who relate upon you. Not إليك, not لك. This is not just a story for your information, for entertainment, for just historical documentation. No. This is now a responsibility. This is a burden upon you. I am telling you this story. Allah is saying, we are relating this story to you because it is now a burden for you to apply and convey to others. نحن نقص عليك. It is on you. بالحق. نبأهم بالحق. That their great news is going to be conveyed to you in truth. That means it's accurate. Also, بالحق, with purpose. That means there is an idea that you have to actually get from this and apply it. بالحق also means that it is my right to relate this story to you, and it is my right that you apply it. This is my right upon you all. بالحق. So it's a very heavy introduction. إنهم فتية. They were just youth. Indeed, they were just young men. Which is really remarkable because we know that when young guys get together, usually they talk about what? Nonsense, joking around, backbiting, getting up to no good, getting into trouble, right? Maybe doing a little bit of mischief, whatever the case may be. And yet, Allah Ta'ala highlights that every once in a while there are youth that get together that completely stand out. It still happens till today. There are certain youth, they form a group, they're all like-minded people, and what do they want? They want to reinforce each other's faith. They want to stand up for the truth. آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. They had faith in Allah Ta'ala. Against the entirety of their society, they stuck together because they truly believed in Allah. وَزِدَنَاهُمْ هُدَى. And we increased them in faith. Why? Because when you get closer to Allah, Allah comes running towards you. We know this hadith. It's a hadith Qudsi, in which the Prophet says that Allah tells us, وَإِذَا أَقْبَلَ إِلَيَّ يَمْشِي أَقْبَلْتُ إِلَيْهِ أُهَرْوِلْ. That when he draws near to me, when the abd, when the servant, when the slave comes to me walking, I go to him running. So subhanAllah, this ayah is highlighting that fact. These young people stuck together and they just wanted to learn about their faith and hold on to the truth. They knew that society was committing shirk and this was evil. So they became a nice, tight-knit group of friends. And Allah Ta'ala increased them in guidance. Then Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. Allah says what? And we made their hearts firm. وَرَبَطْنَا. الربط implies tying something. It implies making something solid, firm, confident. And Allah Ta'ala, it's as if you could imagine their hearts are like these containers. Imagine, let's say, a cup or a bowl that has liquid in it. Obviously, if you shake it up, what's going to happen? Liquid's going to spill out. So you need a lid. You need to tighten it. You need to make sure that when the fitna comes, when the trials come, when people threaten you and shake you up, you still hold on to that that faith firmly. You have to hold on tightly. And this is exactly what happened. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And what's amazing about this is that there's two implications. That Allah connected their hearts, made it tight, connecting to Him, but also to each other. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Their hearts became tied not only to Allah, but to one another. They were never going to rat each other out. They were loyal to one another. They would never give each other up or sell each other out. It wasn't going to happen. So, these are these youth. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. When did this happen? When did their hearts become so firm? إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا. SubhanAllah. This when, this إِذْ is very important. That means it didn't happen until they had firm resolve to stand up and speak the truth. I want you to imagine, these are young people. They don't have all the confidence in the world. They don't have a prophet with them. They don't have ulama with them. They don't even have adults with them. They don't have libraries with them. They can't answer every question. They are nervous. They are afraid. And yet, they know that they have to stand up and speak the truth. They know that it's their responsibility to guide their people. And in that moment, when they finally had the firm resolve, that's when Allah Ta'ala tightened their hearts. That's when Allah Ta'ala gave them that courage. That's when Allah Ta'ala gave them the right words to say. Maybe they had no idea what they were going to say. But the moment they said, you know what, I have to say something. This is wrong. I can't just sit idly by. I'm nervous. I'm shaking. I don't know if my voice will even come out, but I have to stand up. And the moment they got up, what happened? That's when their hearts were firmed, were made firm, were tightened together. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا. When they stood up. So yes, maybe they didn't have the words or the eloquence or the confidence. They never rehearsed. They didn't have training. But then when they stood up, when they had that azima, when they had that firm resolve to make a positive difference, what happened? They were able to say, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. What a beautiful statement. I gave a whole khutbah about personalizing your da'wah a while ago. I gave a whole khutbah talking about what? That yes, of course, it's good to talk about Islam from an objective third-person perspective. Islam teaches that God is one, so forth. This is accurate, it's not wrong, but it's extra beautiful. You beautify it when you make it personally. Who is Allah Ta'ala to me? What does Islam mean to me? How does it apply to my life when you use these words? So here is an example of this. Rabbuna, our Lord, is who? Rabbus samawati wal ard. They make it personal. And they're conveying the message. That you might think that this king here is in charge. You might think that it's your money that gives you wealth and power. You might think that it's your status that is the most important thing. No, Allah Ta'ala is our Lord and the Lord of the heavens and the earth. The Lord of all of you. Subhanallah. And then they say what? They say, لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهَا. We will never, and this is a very challenging word. You can see the rebellion in it. لَن, we will never call upon مِن دُونِهِ, anything that is even anything, any of your idols, not even one, not even ever. لَن مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا. We will never call upon any single one of these idols that you have. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. Had we done so, then we would be speaking and saying something that is extreme. What's interesting here is there might be a slight indication that they were being called extremists. And we can imagine young people being told, oh, you guys are going to extremes, what's wrong with you? Being labeled these terrible labels that everybody wants to avoid. And they're saying, no, no, if we were to follow you, if we were to commit shirk, if we were to actually associate partners with Allah, if I were ever to call upon anybody other than Allah, that is extremism. That's dangerous. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطًا. And then, subhanAllah, look at how beautifully they make it personal. They're not trying to tell society that we're against you. They're actually saying, no, we're trying to help. Imagine, they say, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا. These are our people. What does that imply? They're not saying, أُولَئِكَ, those people in the city are our people. No, they're saying, هَؤُلَاءِ, these people. That means the whole city came to watch this trial. That means standing in front of the king, they are on trial for their deen, and they're pointing to all the society, staring at them, they're on the spot, they're nervous, and they're saying, these are our people. Showing loyalty, showing that I care, showing this is important for me. I'm not trying to tear you guys down. I'm not trying to be rebellious and destroy the fabric of society. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا. These are our people. اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. Unfortunately, they have what? They have taken these idols besides Allah Ta'ala as their gods. This is so unfortunate. And then, amazingly, they're the ones on trial, and instead of them feeling like they're on trial, they put everybody else on trial. They say what? لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. If only you brought any kind of sultan, any sort of hujjah, burhan, any sort of evidence, then maybe we could believe what you're saying. But you have nothing. You have no evidence for your statements. You have no clarity in your beliefs. We believe in Allah. Where is your evidence for this idolatry that you have? They're supposed to be on trial. They're putting everybody else on trial. Look at the confidence that Allah Ta'ala gave them. And look at how amazing it is that they have this care and concern. They're not doing this to be rebellious. They're doing this because they're saying, هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمُنَا. These are our people. We care about our society. We want to be going in the right direction. It's reminiscent of the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ أَتَى قَوْمًا فَقَالَ رَأَيْتُ الْجَيْشِ بِعَيْنَيْ وَإِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرَ الْعُرْيَانِ. It's similar to the statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he says, my example and the example of the message with which Allah Ta'ala has sent me, it's like that of a man who came to his people and said, I have seen with my own two eyes the enemy forces, and I am a naked warner to you. You might say, what? Naked warner? Yes. Because the Arabs understood what that meant. If you see an army behind the hill and you're at the top of the hill, what do? You go to the top of the hill, you take off your shirt, you start waving it, let everybody know. There's an army over here. Run, get out of here. This is serious. Are you worried about, oh, I'm so self-conscious, my body? No time for that. Will they listen to me? Will they care? Will they respond? Will they believe me? No time for that. I have a responsibility. Share the message. Take your shirt off. Just wave it. People, you're in danger. This is serious. You need to listen to me. This is the attitude that the believer has. This is the beautiful message of Tawheed, that once it gets settled in the heart, you understand that you need to save people from their shirk and from their nonsense. And so, they say, لَوْلَا يَأْتُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ بَيِّنٍ. If only you brought some clear evidence. What's so interesting is they use the word sultan. We all know sultan, even in English, it means what? Sultan. They could have used other words. حُجَّة, بَيَان, دَلِيل, right? Burhan. They could have used so many words in Arabic for evidence. But they specifically said, why haven't you brought real evidence using the word sultan? Because that means simultaneously they're saying something else. Why didn't you bring a real king? They're challenging the leadership. Why? Because a leader has a function to protect people. And the truth also protects you from falsehood. And so they're saying, why don't you bring any evidence that's actually going to lead us in the right direction? And why don't you bring a real king that's actually going to lead us in the right direction as well? Two statements at once. Can you imagine the guts these kids have to stand up in front of all their people, challenging them and letting the world know that your king, your ruler, he's a false one and he's got no evidence for his position. Can you imagine how scary that is for these youth? And they're asking, do you have any evidence? They don't say as-sultan al-bayyin, they say sultan al-bayyin al-nakira. Any evidence whatsoever, because you don't have it. SubhanAllah, this was the position that they stood from when they called their people to the truth. And so we need to take a few lessons from this story, inshallah ta'ala, in the second khutbah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam kabira. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Let's not forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes those who hear this story, read this story, study this story, memorize this story, read it every week as you're supposed to. Everybody's supposed to read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. But Allah criticizes those who are reading it every week, memorizing it, and they just don't get the point. Can you imagine you hear this story about young people giving da'wah, and your question is what? سَيَقُولُونَ ثَلَاثَةٌ رَابِعُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ خَمْسَةٌ سَادِسُهُمْ كَلْبُهُمْ رَجْمًا بِالْغَيْبِ. Can you imagine? Okay, were they three and the fourth was the dog? Were they five and the sixth was the dog? You're shooting in the dark, who cares? How tall were they? What type of clothes did they wear? Did they have curly hair or straight hair? How fast could they run 100 meters? What difference does it make? What are you talking about? Did you seriously miss the whole point? Did you seriously miss the whole concept? That they had the guts to stand in front and speak the truth about Allah Ta'ala, and every week you read it and every week you decide not to talk to anybody about Islam? Every single week you have opportunity after opportunity to just mention the fact that you are Muslim. Mention that you believe that God is one. Mention that you come to the masjid to pray to Allah. Mention that you are preparing for the Akhirah. You have week after week, you read this story and you're still missing the point. You might memorize every word and recite with beautiful tajweed, mashallah, you should. And you completely miss the point. Why? Allah Ta'ala tells us in the previous surah, Surah Isra, there are people that can hear the Quran over and over again, they still won't get the point. Sometimes I feel that way. I'm standing on a minbar talking to everybody and I feel like, I don't know, did anybody get it? I'm not sure. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا. And when you recite the Quran, we put between you and those who do not believe in the Akhirah, those who don't have firm resolve to work for the Akhirah, we put between you what? A concealed partition. The words are getting through, but there's something blocking. Why can't they hear? How did you not get the point of these youth to actually convey the message of Islam? Every week you read this story and you never want to talk to a coworker, a colleague, a neighbor, a friend, a classmate, never, nobody? How? That's the whole story. No, but I have to, what color was their shoes? And what are you talking about? Were they three? Were they four? Were they five? You're missing the point entirely. The main point is that these youth were willing to speak the truth, even if it endangered their lives. Are we being in danger of our lives? No. Nobody's threatening us if we talk about Islam, and yet we're afraid. And this brings me back to 2 weeks ago, where I gave a challenge. Those of you who were here perhaps remember. I gave a khutbah, and I talked about bravery. And the challenge, the homework assignment was simple. Text a non-Muslim six simple words. So, when will you become Muslim? That's it. I made this challenge, and subhanAllah, some people, they react, you can see, they panic. They get nervous. The heart palpitates, the sweat starts pouring. What? Preach? No way. I would never preach to anybody, and I don't want anybody to preach to me. What do you think? I had to have this conversation. What do you think the word preach means? We had to look it up in the dictionary. I really had to go online. So let's just look up the word. No. Preaching, that means you're trying to shove the message down somebody's throat and force them. That's literally, you're misusing the word, like in English. That's not what it means. What does preaching mean? There's a few definitions, but one of them is to earnestly advocate. Earnestly advocate. Brothers and sisters, if you're unaware of this, allow me to remind you. We are subjected to preaching, and we preach all the time. It's happening throughout the day, every day. Anytime a doctor tells the patient, giving some medical advice, that's a form of preaching. Why? Because they're giving sincere, earnest advice. Earnestly advocating, that's a form of preaching. Anytime a politician is promoting some kind of a social program, anytime your friend tells you about a movie, oh man, you really got to see this movie, it was so entertaining, that's a form of preaching. He's calling you to something. It's a type of da'wah. He's inviting you to something. Anytime you see an advertisement on the road, come eat at our restaurant, it has the best prices, delicious food, best quality, that's a form of da'wah. So why are we so offended by the word preaching when we are constantly engaged in giving and receiving? But the moment I talk about Islam, that's when the panic comes up. I don't preach, preaching is wrong. Are you kidding me? You're receiving preaching and giving preaching all the time. Literally any information you consider important, you share, as you should. What type of a person has valuable information and keeps it entirely to themselves? I'll tell you what kind of person. We know what kind of person. That person is called selfish, self-centered, greedy. These are not good qualities. You don't want to be that person. You want to share the good that you have, inshallah ta'ala. And so yes, I offered a challenge to start a conversation with a non-Muslim. Just start the conversation about Islam to about 1,000 people. And maybe about 20 people actually did it. Alhamdulillah, 20 is better than nothing. At least that's something. It's a start. But what about the rest? Everybody who heard my challenge 2 weeks ago, and I said, go ahead, try, right after this khutbah, just text somebody. Start a conversation about Islam. Everybody else who was unable to, well, they were forced to take a really good hard look in the mirror and ask themselves some very difficult questions. Why can't I start a conversation about Islam? What is wrong with me? Why can't I do it? Why is it so impossible? I know the most common reason would probably, I'm not a scholar. SubhanAllah, did you not hear the story of Ashab al-Kahf? They didn't have a prophet with them. They didn't have scholars with them. They didn't have libraries. They weren't studying for 20 years and showing up to their people saying, listen, any question you have, I can answer it, no problem. I've been studying fiqh and aqidah for so long. These are kids, these are youth. But they knew that Allah is one, and they knew that society was going in the wrong direction. That's it. They couldn't answer every question. This idea, I'm not a scholar, I'm not an alim. I'm sorry. Then apparently you've been reading this story and you haven't gotten the point. Some people would say, look, brother, I want to talk to people about Islam, but the thing is, I know they won't accept. Again, subhanAllah, you didn't get the point of this story. Every week you're reading about Ashab al-Kahf. Did anybody accept their message? No. Nobody accepted their message. You know how we know? Because they had to run for their lives. They had to go hide in a cave. Nobody converted. They had to flee to save their lives. So was the goal to say, well, I only give da'wah when I know I'm going to convert the guy? No, you missed the whole point of the story. That you don't give da'wah because I know they're going to convert. No, you give da'wah because Allah Ta'ala told you to. And guess what? When you do that, Allah's going to miraculously help you. That's the story. That's the meaning of the story. Even if they reject you and mock you and make fun of you, Allah's going to miraculously help you. That's the story. That's the lesson. And most of us say, no, I don't give da'wah because I don't think they'll accept. Totally missed the point. Way over the head. SubhanAllah. Some people say, I would talk about Islam, but you know, brother, I just don't have the right words. Again, you missed the point of the story. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا وَقَالُوا Allah says that Allah made their hearts firm and gave them that courage and that confidence when they had the azimah, the firm determination to stand up and speak. That means you might not know exactly the right words to say, but you know the basics. You know that Allah is one. You know that you could invite them to read the Quran. You know you can invite them and say, you should just look into Islam. Basic things. Allah Ta'ala will make your heart firm and help you and strengthen you and make you more determined. Once you make that step, once you have the firm resolve to make that first step. Again, if you miss that, you miss the story. Even if you're reading it every week. The sad reality is that for many people, and again, we have to look at ourselves in the mirror. The reason why we have so much trouble having a single conversation about Islam is, look, I don't practice it myself. Oh, if everybody can move up forward a little bit. If you guys can move forward a little bit, make some space. Jazakallah khair. The sad reality is that most of us, we fear beginning a conversation about Islam because deep down, we know deep in our hearts, we won't admit it, but there's a little voice that says, look, I don't really practice Islam much, so why am I going to tell somebody else to practice it? I don't value it that much, so why am I going to tell somebody else to value it? I haven't learned about Islam much, so why am I going to tell somebody else to learn about it? And when you finally look at yourself in the mirror and admit this to yourself, yes, this is an uncomfortable truth that you have to face. How much do I value my deen? How much do I take it seriously? And another uncomfortable truth that may be the case for some of us is that we have an inferiority complex. We feel like everybody else can preach. If I see some Christian walking around saying, I want to share the message of the Bible, you don't expect anybody to get offended. You wouldn't expect anybody to start screaming. You wouldn't start getting mad at them. You say, no, they have the right to say that. I mean, it's fine. But then, what about you, brother? Do you have the right to talk about your Quran? I expect that they'll get mad. In fact, I accept that they'll get mad. In fact, they kind of have the right to get mad if I do. If that's kind of what's going on inside of your heart, if these feelings are there, then that's what's called a second-class citizen. You have an inferiority complex. They have certain rights that I don't have. We're all in the same society and we're all supposed to be equal. But when they preach their religion, it's fine. That's their right. When I do it, I don't know if I have the right to do that. Is that how we feel? You have to look into your own heart and answer your own question. And perhaps it's the case that you come to Jum'ah and your attitude is this, look, I'm here for a lecture, not for homework. And if that's the case, I would suggest you go to a different Jummah, to somewhere where maybe you actually will listen to what the Khatib has to say and actually say, you know what, I'm actually going to try to apply whatever challenge he offers. That would be my advice. So may Allah Ta'ala make us of those who actually learn these suwar, learn these qasas, stories from the Quran, and apply their lessons. Ya Allah, give us the courage to start a conversation about Islam, no matter how terrified we are. Ya Allah, give us the courage to start a conversation about Islam, no matter how terrified we are. Ya Allah, help us to value our deen and make us generous enough to share the things that we value. I'm going to say that again. Ya Allah, help us to value our deen and make us generous enough to share the things that we value. Ya Allah, open our hearts to read, understand, and practice the lessons of these youth and help us to raise a generation of youth just like them. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma a'tayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, wa la ya'izzu man adayt, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayt, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina azab al-nar, wa sallallahu ala sallam Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam kathira, wa aqim as-salah.